You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
In the Octagon, out in San Francisco, Matt, the armchair analyst, Doyle.
Do you like not care about your hygiene? Is that what we're hearing here?
I'm actually an obsessive hand washer.
Or maybe the best team in the MLS.
Wait a minute. No, Cashman, that's wrong.
Why?
Because, no, that's absolutely wrong.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXM FC, Channel 85 and MLSsoccer.com. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me, Matt, the armchair analyst, Doyle. He's sitting at this very table. As always, David Goss, and we're pulling double duty today, guys. There's another episode you should go listen to before we get started in on this one. This is all CCL fever, which unfortunately for MLS teams has broke after the quarterfinals.
Terminal.
Yeah, it was...
I think the fever doesn't exist. It doesn't mean it killed you.
Yeah, right.
Well, I guess it did.
Right. They're still surviving. They're still out there. They exist. They just don't have a fever anymore. Liga MX with the sweep in the CONCACAF Champions League. We're here to talk about it. As I said, though, there are two episodes on this Thursday. We have our giant, enormous, huge, how do they say that? What's that?
Huge.
Yes, huge MLS preview. The end of it, I should say, with our predictions. Also, go check that one out through iTunes or however you... however you listen to this podcast, there's a lot of different ways. You maybe have your own. Listen to that, but let's talk CCL, guys.
Are we teaching people how to get podcasts now after like 5 years of being on it?
Well, here are the ways you can do it.
Clearly you've found one already because you're listening to this right now.
Yeah. By the way, the game started at 1:30 on Sunday, Sunday, March 6th. 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here at MLSsoccer.com. Also ESPN3, also Fox Soccer Go, SkySports.com. I mean, it's basically everywhere. Is our digital extravaganza starring... you, Matt, and a bunch of other people. Jason Kreis, Heath Pierce, Kalen Carr, Russ Thaler hosts this bad boy. It
Who
should be a lot of fun.
Who are you most excited about to be on stage with?
Jason Kreis.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure, Jason Kreis. I think he's a smart guy.
Do you think that...
And he's just so... He's so freaking intimidating in person.
Really?
Do you think
very intense.
Do you think that in the atmosphere of the set, the team will be the star?
I hope so. I hope we can come together in the locker room beforehand.
Yeah. I expect it.
You know, I want to play my role.
Right.
And just, keep the ball moving and...
Ned Grabovoi, Luke Mulholland.
Grabovoi.
Maybe a couple blind draws just for old time's sake. No? Okay. All right. Let's jump right into CCL. As I said, this is kind of our special on it. We didn't really have time for it during the normal Thursday show, but you got to give time here. Unfortunately, this will be it for us probably, other than giving you results as these Liga MX teams roll on. DC lose to Querétaro. That was a 3-1 win. For the Liga MX side, Seattle go down to Mexico, tied 2-2. They lose 3-1 after taking an early lead, 5-3 loss for them. L.A. shellacked in Santos, and this is not the first time this has happened to an MLS team. In the knockout stages in Torreon, 4-0 win, not good for Bruce and the boys. And then RSL, the kind of, you know, they
I called them no-hopers, Weeby.
I forgot about that.
I called them no-hopers, and they certainly didn't play
like
that.
They were the ones that made many proud in MLS circles. Let's start with DC Querétaro. 1-1 ending here at RFK Stadium. Julian Boucher with a great goal, really nice goal, but it wasn't
enough.
The game
was over before it started. Game was over before it even started. 3 minutes in, you give up a goal, and that's it.
Actually, 3 minutes into the
game.
That's true.
So. Yeah. But I don't know how many people had sat down before that game was over, and that's – kind of annoying because Querétaro was the worst of these four Mexican sides.
Yeah, it was the one we said.
DC outplayed them for 60 minutes down in Mexico. We'd said that last week as well. They come in here. They don't start Acosta, which I don't understand why. And he came in and was pretty good off the bench. At that point, I'd already bashed my eyes in, so I couldn't really see that well. But it wasn't a pretty game.
A thing?
Yeah, I don't know. Bashing eye.
I was going to say bash my head. But
I did bash my eye earlier today.
You gouged your eyes out.
Probably.
Yeah. It's pretty vicious.
Ripped the words out of my mouth. Right. Yeah, so it was an unimpressive performance. It was uninspiring. And
I think that's harsh.
Yeah?
I think that's harsh because I actually thought DC played really well over two legs defensively other than a couple of breakdowns at the end of the second leg.
The first goal, the goal in this game was terrible.
Was bad. It was a mistake by Steve Birnbaum. He has to do better, and I think he knows that. But I thought overall, DC looks like a team that is going to be stable defensively this year. They have real questions in midfield. I think you can put a more skillful group out there, maybe with Boucher, maybe with Acosta hopefully getting minutes, maybe switch to a 4-3-3. But the big question for me is, what do they do up top? They need that target man. They need someone who could collapse defenses around him, still maintain the ball.
Like Alvaro Sabaria?
They need the 26-year-old version of Alvaro Sabaria, not the 34.
We've yet to see with him at
but
this
I
point.
But I think, you know, Ben Olsen said we have one more, you know, bullet in the gun, so to speak, that they can use on a big-time signing. I think they need to go out and get a number nine because they don't have an answer offensively.
We'll talk about this at the end, and we'll kind of give you the overall feeling from this tournament as well as what we think about all this chatter. You know, how can MLS compete, yada, yada, yada. It does not do DC and their effort at MLS any favors when, and I know this is not coming directly from the players and the coach afterwards, a tweet or a press release that basically said, hey, preseason is now over after this loss.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating for a lot of folks out there that are paying attention to this, that had CCL fever, that want to see MLS teams take this more seriously. We'll talk about that just in a little bit, but it's worth putting
and just
out
to
there.
Clarify, I think Ben Olsen really did take it seriously. I think he put out what he felt is his best team in each leg.
And they came out gunning in the first leg. Absolutely. It's not like they came out deferential, which was what really Hercules nice. Gomez really nice talked about.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that fear. You didn't see that. It just was a lack of finishing. And then after that,
hiccups
mistakes
on the back line. And look, it's still preseason basically for these MLS teams. That much is true. But we were hoping for more from this tie. Certainly Seattle and Club America, 5-3 loss, as I said, for the Sounders. This just comes down to focus, I feel like. You get yourself in good positions. And
take
then, you
lead.
Let, then you let Quintero just do what he wants to do, which is go right at you.
Yeah, they had 3 leads in this series, and they gave up a goal immediately after taking the lead each time. It was kind of depressing, and I think a lot of it is going to Brad Evans is going to hear some stuff over the next couple of weeks. I kind of wondered after he got brained about the 35th minute whether or not he was okay, because he looked a little wobbly at the close of the first half. And you wonder, like, if they have Roman Torres, right, do they make that sub right there?
Roman Torres you'd think would be starting.
I don't know. I still think that Evans brings so much in terms of distribution.
You think at both of them healthy and in form, or you think because Torres hasn't played preseason?
Healthy and in form, I mean, obviously you can adjust game by game, but people underrate what Evans means to that team in terms of his ability on the ball and to get attacks going. And I thought they did a lot of that against Club America. I mean, Seattle is playing a new formation with a bunch of new players, and they just sold their best player. And they were stringing together long sequences of possession in the Azteca against what I think is the best team in Liga MX.
Tigres.
Yeah, top 3 team,
but right, yeah,
in Liga MX. Like, we didn't see that 3-4 years ago from the Sounders, or really from almost anybody in this league. We didn't even see that from Montreal last year.
Nope.
Montreal got to the final by bunkering.
Yep.
Seattle came out and played, and I thought aesthetically it was a step forward, though obviously they lacked the cutting edge up top, and they lacked the little bit of solidity in the back.
I think they lacked depth. Like, you look at the difference in benches. You have Dario Benedetto coming off in crunch time for Club America, and you look at Sounders' bench, it's Zach Scott, O'Neill Fisher, Nathan Sturgis, Darwin Jones, Roldan, Kovar.
I also think games like this, you see the if there's one weakness in your starting lineup, I think it's really shines. America didn't have that. I thought you could see at times Club America would allow Freiburg to have the ball in their own half, not step to him. They basically played down that right wing for like 15 minutes in the second half, and Mears would give it back to Freiburg, and America would allow him to have the ball because they know he can't cut them open with that pass. And I just think that's your maybe one real deficiency in your starting lineup besides the mistake from Evans. But I agree with you that Evans is a talented player, and it just shines in a game like
that. Word on the street was that Ruben Sambuesa would not play in this game. He played in this
game.
And he's pretty good.
He's an assassin.
He's unbelievable. You watch these games, and you watch Liga MX teams, and you see the service that they provide their forwards, and all of a sudden, it's not so surprising.
There's
that
no
they have
hesitation.
Yep.
There's no hesitation. That was it. The second goal that was just like 4 straight one-touch passes that ended with the header. That was they're a really good team. Sambuesa is a really good player. Part of MLS growing up is figuring out how to get the Ruben Sambuesas right. of the world when they're 18, 19 into this league and developing them into that.
And we've seen a few, we've seen like Juninho, mm-hmm. and Fabian Castillo yep. guys come in that in Liga MX world, they come in at the lower level and then they end up at America. And Juninho is a guy who's starting to trend towards that if
Absolutely.
He has a good season or two. But I agree with you. Those are the guys that MLS needs to be bringing in, because those are the guys who can change games and do it for 6-7 years if you're willing to keep them where they are.
Let's move on to LA and Santos. As I said, 4-0. This was a face plant by the Galaxy. Certainly, this was not a game that the Galaxy fans were happy about. We may have some of that in the mailbag in our other show, our MLS preview show, because I know there was some real consternation from fans that were hoping for more after that 0-0 draw in LA. You go down to Torreon, and I mean, I guess just walk me through it. What'd you see?
It was the set. First of all, the corners, right?
Yep.
They struggled with it in the first leg, and then they come back out, and they struggle in the same places. There aren't guys on both posts, or guys don't know where to hold
interject.
On the post.
I'm just going to interject really quick. Whoever the first MLS team is that wins this thing, they will not give up a right. set-piece goal in the entire run. But please continue.
No, and so from that point on, you're already broken down. You've yeah. given up your goal or two. You haven't had an opportunity. I don't think they had a good look at the time. They were down 2-0, and at that point the game's kind of over. But I think one of the things you talked about when we were previewing LA was the lack of a true center forward. Mm-hmm. Both guys that want to float out mm-hmm. and find the ball. There was never a true outlet. They yep. didn't know, I know if I get the ball here that I have a second to breathe, that the team can move up the yep. field. And in both legs, Dos Santos disappeared.
Yep.
So, okay, if you're going to float around, that's fine. But pick up the ball and make things happen and be electric and have the other team be worried that you're floating and saying, oh, where is Dos Santos? We don't know where we're going to defend him. Instead, it was just he floats off to the wing and just disappears.
I know it hasn't been long with Gio. Is there any inkling in your mind, Matt, where you say, is there flop potential with Gio Dos Santos?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll tell you what. There's
I know
flop,
it's early.
There's
I know
flop
it's early.
Potential with Dos Santos and Keane together. They do not make each other better. They make each other worse. Bruce and the Galaxy have to figure out how to get Dos Santos onto the wing to add a little bit of creativity to that midfield, which has none as is currently constructed, and get Jossie Zardes back up top to do what Gasman was talking about and collapse the defense.
Some donkey
a
work.
Bit.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
They absolutely need that. I think that's one of the big questions. The other big question is Steven Gerrard. I mean, he looks the same as he did when he was 25 years old, but he's a different player. He's not even the same player that he was 2 years ago. He's so slow to the ball, and his instincts defensively have always been kind of wonky, and I think it showed in that game
and
as well.
And the second or third goal.
The second goal. The
De Jong goal. Kind of goes upfield,
yep.
and you just watch Gerrard not cover that space
yep.
and not be on the man on the top of the box. And
yeah.
That's
I
what
mean, to be fair, that what a stunning strike that was. That was
right.
a great goal.
It's a good deflection
unsavable.
As
yeah.
well. But there's no one near him on the top of the 18 to say to block the shot immediately.
Right.
He shouldn't have room to shoot.
Marcelo Sarvas 2 years ago does not let that shot get off. Mm-hmm. Gerrard has to do that.
Well, 4-0 for the Galaxy. They go down. Bruce Arena's got some work to do putting this puzzle together. It is a pretty new construction, so we'll see what happens with them in MLS. Of course, the season starts on Sunday. Soccer Sunday starting at 1:30 p.m., 1 o'clock, MLSsoccer.com, ESPN3, Fox Sports Go. Sky Sports, a lot of different places you can watch this guy, Matt Doyle, and a bunch of others talk you through the first games of the day. The final tie here for MLS was the best, the one that I think made us most proud of the efforts, at least. RSL Tigres, 2-0 in the first leg. RSL go down 3-1 overall losers after a 1-1 draw, and they missed a PK in this one.
Yeah, I mean, one missed PK to even out for the first yep. leg as well. And it was dodgy, just like the first. Well, it was dodgier than the first leg.
God bless
PK.
A dodgy CONCACAF PK.
You know, I forgot how good João Plata was when he was healthy.
He's done this in this competition
he has.
Before.
He was lightning in a bottle for Toronto FC mm-hmm. a few years back, and he's brought it to Sandy as well. His first touch on those long diagonals in traffic, he was phenomenal. He was giving them headaches all night. Yermav Sisian, obviously, his finishing touch is not there, but he did everything else.
His fitness is not there yet either. Yep. We haven't seen him play 90, have we?
Yeah, I don't think we have. Yeah. And then, you know, Burrito, who I guess was fighting off the flu, he's a fun player to watch. And Javier Morales, I guess, is never going to age. So That group of four, and then the, like Beckerman and Sonny behind them, they were all really good. I mean, people need to understand how good Tigres is. This is an awesome team, and RSL, I think, basically outplayed them.
And once again, well, the Mexican team brought their bullets. They didn't mess around.
They played their A team both legs. The first moment I looked at the schedule 2 weeks ago or whatever, I turned to someone and said, there's no chance that RSL loses by less than 5 goals.
Yeah.
In the first game.
Yep.
Tigres is right now considered one of the greatest Liga MX teams of all time.
Yep.
That's how good they are. Andre Pierre Gignac's, like, their people are naming their kids after him already. That's how good this team is.
Generation of Gignacs?
Yeah. Well, I think Andre.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a great point.
But you only think he didn't have the ring. You only think he's an okay player. So that's why you just don't understand.
When did I say that?
Someone on Twitter like jumped on you sarcastically
I thought he was pretty good.
And I was blown away by the way RSL played as well. They played them off the field. They put them under pressure. They made them look nervous
and
uncomfortable.
They didn't play them off the field.
That's true. But they put them under pressure. They had the crowd
behind
them.
CCL fever is good. He's seeing things.
And kudos to the crowd as well.
Oh, great crowd. I love that Yura was pumping them up the whole time, like playing the
– Yura getting back on D, you don't – you know.
Oh, my God,
We talk about the fitness, and he couldn't go the 90, but you can see what he'll bring – And I think that goes a long way in just, like, selling yourself to the fan base, selling yourself to your teammates.
Yeah.
I think also he's connected.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing. He's already connected to the fan base, to the team, to the club.
I mean, and you talk to guys who play, and look, there's a reason Chris Wingert went back.
Yeah.
There's a reason Nat Borchers was really sad when he got traded. James and Olave go. They really love it there. There is that connection. They've maintained that even after Jason Kreis has departed. So a lot of good stuff happening. The question mark, though, is in defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jaime Olave was really good in leg two. He was really bad leg one. I suspect that's the pattern we'll see this year. Aaron Mond, unfortunately, came off with that egg-sized lung.
That was scary.
I thought someone was going to jump out of it.
We know that Craig Weibel
did get the crying Jordan treatment.
Of
the lump, it had the small crying Jordan.
I think Zeus, one of the Greek gods came.
Yeah, it's Athena, right?
It's the beginning of a horn.
Yeah,
he's trying to sprout.
But like they need to address that spot. They need to get their own Laurent Simon.
They say that they had three. The Ghanaian Jerry Akamanko was in, but we talked about this a little bit before we came on about moving that date up, maybe of closing rosters so that
add a little more urgency.
The team has to have that guy in place because RSL is looking at it, and it's not to their fault.
The transfer window closes in what, May or something like that?
April 15th.
That wasn't close.
It was close.
If you lock in those rosters, though, you have that urgency where we have to get it done. Where to the two piece parties at the table say, if we don't get this done in the next 24 hours, it's not going to happen.
Right.
I think if you have those rosters set, even maybe a little bit of practice, but not even just having the players there, it helps.
And the other thing to understand is, maybe this time next year, not that RSL is going to be in it, but maybe this time next year, Justin Glad is ready to contribute a little more. For the Sounders, Darwin Jones and Kovar got on the field in addition to Jordan Morris. DC didn't play any homegrowns, but they played their rookies. You know, LA, of course, has a ton of homegrowns who I hope see more minutes in the regular season. So there is progress. Three of these teams, not LA, three of these teams went toe-to-toe. They didn't.
Yeah, I know. It's just funny to hear.
Three of these teams went toe-to-toe with really, with two of the best teams in Liga MX. And they played their starters, the Liga MX teams did. And it was closer than it was 3 years ago. And it's not the type of progress that everybody wanted, but it's the type of progress that we got.
Yeah, is it total of a defeatist attitude to be like, there was progress and a level of respect, I think, in this round of competition that you haven't seen in past years, even though every MLS
even though there were no results
lost. And a funny part about it is, I think if you rank the four performances by the MLS teams, you'd say it's basically opposite of the best teams of Liga MX, right? Tigres was the best team. RSL played the best. Seattle was second best. America was the second best team.
Yeah.
LA and DC, okay, I don't know what's going on there, but Querétaro and Santos.
I mean, look, every team got a draw.
Yep.
And that's kind of what we're left with.
Oh,
right? I mean, it's tough. Yeah, there's not much. There's a lot of people out there that are saying, see, we were right. All this talk about, hey, it's getting closer. The gap is closing. Especially you'd expect in Mexico. They're saying, well, that was delusional. That's not the way it is. does something have to change? I mean, Landon Donovan says it's money, and he says it's spreading more money out as opposed to, you know, the Gio Dos Santoses and Robbie Keane's of the world. Some people say it's schedule.
There are a lot of things. One of the things that will never change is that it's such a spaced out tournament. The way teams are different from when they qualified to when they are now. There have been all of these teams have undergone outside of DC a real change in their rosters. Mm-hmm. Other years that hasn't been the case. And so you, even though you're not in season, you have some familiarity. I think the teams this year, because you have Mufsisian coming in, LA's a whole new team, and Seattle just lost Martins. You had more of a change that in past years you could say, you know, if Portland was in it this year, they would have looked similar to what they were last year. And that might be a crapshoot. I don't know how you can say how that, mm-hmm. you know, works.
But schedule still affects them. How big of an effect do we actually think schedule is? Because I hear a lot of people out there saying, hey, I'm tired of the excuses, MLS. Like, get this done.
I think everybody's tired of the excuses, but the schedule isn't that going to change because, well, I guess the weather will change. But I mean, it's like, I don't want to play in Minnesota in February.
No.
You know, like, I don't know.
It's not even about wanna, right? I mean, it's physically, you can't.
Well, I wouldn't go to those.
Montreal. You'd have to go to Big O.
I'm saying wherever you play,
Montreal have a dome,
right? But if you, I think most cities that are up north like that,
Boston doesn't have a dome. No. New York City doesn't have a dome.
Toronto City doesn't. Toronto has it. Yeah, Toronto
and that's
has,
the thing. And the fans won't turn out either. I mean, I used to have season tickets, and I'd be like, it's March 12th, and it's 18 degrees. I'm not going to that game.
Such a great example you're setting here for. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm soft.
Move to California.
yeah, that is why you're in California. I mean, it was a tough year for MLS teams in the knockout stages. This is where we stand. Let us know what you think. Liga MX going forward.
The next group of teams: Portland, Vancouver, the Red Bulls, FC Dallas, and Sporting KC. And it starts in early August?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe so. That's a good group.
It's a good group. I think it's a better group than what we just saw. But a lot of things can change in 12 months.
A lot of things can change. We will see what happens when the group stages start back up. Any and all thoughts, welcome on this year's edition of the CCL quarterfinals. No MLS teams. Go through at Extra Time Radio, extratime at MLSsoccer.com via email. Remember, the season starts on Sunday. Soccer Sunday starting at 1:30 in the afternoon. New York Red Bulls hosting Toronto FC. TSN4, MLS Live, RDS2, and then it rolls on. Orlando City RSL is the next. Chicago Fire, New York City FC. I won't list them all. You can check out the schedule at MLSsoccer.com, and you can watch our spectacular 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern. That's all we got here. Thanks for listening.